This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Hey, this is Jedi Master Rob LeBarry, host of the Jedi Temple Archives podcast, and you're listening to... Wait, hold on one second. What the Force? Hey, aren't you Dr. Sunny Ravencourt of the University of Coruscant?
Nope.
No, you absolutely are. I recognize you. No, you were in the archives not too long ago. I believe you were on a tour, a guided tour. Look, here's the deal. This temple is not open to outsiders without escort. So you're going to just have to move right along, or I'm going to have to get Jedi Temple security.
Oh, come on. I can't get this kind of information at the University of Coruscant. Look at this transcription. This Jedi was murdered.
All right. That's it. We're not going to have this conversation. Padawan, please go get the temple guards.
Oh, I really don't think you need to call Jedi secure. Okay, here they come. I gotta go.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Goodbye, Dr. Ravencourt. All right, sorry about that. Where was I? Oh, right. And you're listening to Conversations Podcast with Pat and Charles.
It's a translation to a Star Wars nation. It's a celebration.
Hello, and welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat, and this is episode 109. Yep. Get back. Yeah. Episode 109. From a young extra Wookiee cousin to the mini MC of many Star Wars centric conventions and events, Warwick Davis has been a staple of cinema since the 1980s. This is his short story.
I mean, that short bit is only because of his mockumentary series.
Of course it is.
Which we'll get to.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yes. Warwick Davis. What a fantastic... I mean, if you want to like classify the epitome of Star Wars ambassadors...
Yes.
I mean, Warwick Davis ranks up there with Mark Hamill.
Yeah. And James Arnold Taylor.
And James Arnold Taylor.
And sometimes Rob from the Jedi Temple Archives podcast.
Wow.
But, yes. Yeah,
so 1 minute 30 in. That's impressive.
There you have it. So, so Wicket Wistry Warwick is the main Ewok that encounters Leia on the forest moon of Endor in Return of the Jedi. So correct. He's kind of a big deal.
He is very much a big deal. And... What a story he has to actually walk on that set.
Yeah, because he was a young child at the time.
Right.
And and Kenny Baker, of course, who had embodied R2-D2, was slated to play Wicket, and he had fallen ill. And Sir George, he kind of he liked the way that Warwick carried himself, and as an Ewok, so he said, "Listen, why don't we, until Kenny gets back, you can be the guy." So then he was the guy, and then the rest was history. He was, obviously his character was essential in Leia's escape from the Scout Trooper. And furthermore, he was instrumental in the organization of the Ewoks against the Empire's forces on the Forest Moon.
Absolutely.
Not the nearest moon, but the Forest Moon.
The Forest Moon. Wait.
Right.
Wait, the farthest moon or the Forest Moon?
Forest.
Oh, the far, like further away.
Okay, here, let me explain to you. Like the Forest Moon of Endor.
Well, before we get to that, I think we need to give credit to Warwick Davis's grandmother, because she was the one who had heard on the radio back in 1981 that there was an open call for actors.
Sure.
And so she had heard this for some sort of movie production of Little People, as they called them back then. And she had called Warwick's mom and said, hey, look, there's this open casting call. You should, you know, call in. And Warwick's mom did. And they had replied that they were overwhelmed with responses for this casting call for actors. But grandma was like, forget this. My grandson is going to make it into this movie because he wants to do this. He's a huge Star Wars fan. And he had loved Star Wars from the moment it came out. So Warwick was like a massive fan.
Yeah.
And so the angle that ended up helping him was that the fact that he was 11, so he was even smaller than most of the adult actors were at that point. So he provided a smaller frame to for them to work with. But he also had this maturity about him. He had a very sort of innocent approach to the character. He had made an impression on the casting group that while he was younger than most of the adult actors, he had this poise about him and just sort of like this perfect sense for what they were looking for. And yes, he was playing a younger character within the story. And once he put on that costume, he felt 100% at home and just blew the role away.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously they went with him in that film. And then, of course, he reprised the role of Wicket in The Caravan of Courage.
Yes, he did.
and the Ewoks, The Battle of Endor in 1984 and 1985.
Right, two classic movies.
Yes. Yes, I mean the cream of the crop with these. Speaking of cream of the crop, he also crept up in the 1987 version of Star Tours.
Oh wow! Oh, okay, that's very cool. All right.
Yeah. So he had found great success in Star Wars, and you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi. They wrapped filming and all, and shortly after the film came out, I think right after the premiere, he wrote a letter, a handwritten letter to George Lucas, like, hey, so my name is Warwick. I'm not sure you remember me, but I was in Star Wars, and listen, it's hard for me to get the action figures for the movie. If you know of a way that I can get them, then, you know, he would appreciate it. So of course, George knows of a way to get them and sends him over the complete set, which, of course, Warwick being, you know, I think like 12 years old at this point, or 13, is like over the moon because he just got a complete set from George Lucas, which he's like, all right, cool. So so that was like all he wanted was like he wanted a set of Star Wars figures.
Of course. I mean, what else would you want at that age?
I mean, what else would you want at my age?
Or my age? aside from a low budget, but still very intriguing documentary that he was a part of called The Return of the Ewok, which was filmed in conjunction with The Return of the Jedi. And so you had shared this with me probably a year and a half ago. You had sent me this link to a YouTube video, and it was very much like almost like someone had captured it in a theater. And I couldn't find this specific video, but the one that I did see that contained all of the scenes that I remembered seeing was interspersed with you know, the 4K video that we see of some of the movies and stuff. So it was new material along with literally, you know, video camera captured content from the early 80s, which looked like to me like a pre-feature documentary, like you're in a theater somewhere in England, because I don't remember seeing this at all locally here. And I don't remember seeing this on like a PBS station of, like, you know, behind the scenes making of the Return of Jedi. So this seemed to be a very England-specific featurette that could have been played before, you know, various screenings of The Return of the Jedi. And it was this, it was scripted. It was produced and directed, not by George Lucas. It was directed by Dave Tomlin, actually. And he had, obviously, it was Warwick Davis, and it was from his perspective and like his day in the life of an Ewok and how he sort of stumbled upon this casting and blasted off into a rocket and sent to Endor. And but it was really cool is that it's Harrison Ford in his Return of the Jedi cosplay.
Yes.
Costume. It's Mark Hamill in his, yes, you know, his dark Jedi getup. Right. And of course, it's Carrie Fisher,
Leia,
in her slave Leia, of course.
And of course, little Warwick is like over the moon about the whole
exactly
thing.
Exactly. And he goes through the various costume changes. It's really a charming little little featurette, and it's called Return of the Ewok, because if you can search it up on YouTube, it's really sweet to see that such a young actor and a young character was given this opportunity to share the screen with these actors who were at this point really well known, because this is the third movie in the series and the last movie, and but also gave a sort of a real down-to-earth perspective on how fun and how much, as through the years, and we'll get into this during the Star Wars weekends and also celebrations, that Warwick Davis had endeared himself to these actors.
Yeah, and you know, it's again, it's sort of a marketing thing, of course, because Ewoks were going to be the cute little merchandising aspect of the latest film. But you know, what better way to endear the audience to these characters than to endear the original actors to them?
Yeah, yeah. And what's really cool too is that at the end of this little featurette, he's sent off by you know, R2-D2, who is just sort of like there in the foreground.
Yeah.
But Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher are like, all right, Warwick, we'll see you soon. And he walks off into the forest, and literally the forest set that we see in the movie, and his parents are there.
Yes.
This whole thing.
He's like immediately chastised.
Yeah, he's back. Like, what are you talking about, this movie? And what was really cool about it was that he says, it's true, Daddy. I was part of this movie called Revenge of the Jedi. And he mentions the pre-release name of the movie, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of that, the Revenge of the Jedi. You know, it obviously makes more sense to be Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Because Jedi do not seek revenge. But it's cool to have that sort of glimpse into the early drafts, as it were, or late drafts, of that film. But yeah, just a cool sort of short film that they had done for him, for the character, and for publicity for the film.
For sure. And you know, aside from Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, the only other actor in this little featurette was Frank Oz. He did voice the unique script for this movie because Darth Vader, who was played by David Prowse at the beginning, who was like, you know, working out, and then Boba Fett, both of those voiced by the director, David Tomlin.
Uh-huh.
So, but Frank Oz did record his specific lines for Yoda within this little featurette. So that was really cool. But of course, we all know that Frank Oz is awesome. So that was pretty cool.
Oh my God. Yeah. So then you've got, from the Star Wars angle, the 1997, he began being a part of Star Wars Weekends at Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World.
Oh my gosh.
And so he made several appearances there, which we do have a Star Wars Weekends episode up on the conversations.com. And
that's episode 61, by the way.
Yes. Well, clearly. So that being said, you know, there's details in there about, you know, what one could expect from a Star Wars weekend. So, you know, he was a celebrity guest, and he was also a host, and and just all around, like you had said, a pretty big ambassador for the brand, especially back in the, you know, early 2000s when you know, when you were starting to drum up much more interest in the brand through the prequels.
Absolutely. And, you know, he started with, like you said, in 1997 for the Star Wars weekends, where he began his, for lack of a better term, the fan-based experiences, where he not only was an ambassador for the Star Wars brand, but he started to become an MC, or at least a curator of this fan base. And so the Star Wars weekends ran from, well, it was 1997 for 1 year, which was the release of the special editions. Mm-hmm. And then it took a pause until 2000. Now you can hear all this story in episode 61 that we talked about. So, but he was consistently in there for 2000, 2001, and then when they rebooted in 2003. And all the way to 2015, which was the last year that they were presented, which we were at the last weekend of the last Star Wars weekend. And for a total of 15 years, and he only missed two of those 15 years for various, mm-hmm. you know, various things. He had honed his skills as a engaging, endearing host. And he, you know, obviously he's a, you know, fantastic actor, but his An Ewok's Tale with Warwick Davis special featurette at these Star Wars weekends, where he would take members of the audience and assign them roles and have fun with them and do these role-playing parts, really trained him to be able to manage these huge crowds like you and I witnessed at, you know, Star Wars Celebration in Chicago and all the other ones, to give him that skill to be able to not be intimidated by a large crowd, but still be that endearing Star Wars figure and include these people and give them a slice of the Star Wars fandom that they were all there for. And it was so, it's such a wonderful, heartwarming experience. And the other actors who were part of the Star Wars fandom saw that, and they were so easygoing and had this ease with him because he was so endearing with them.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned the Star Wars celebrations, because in 2019 in Chicago, one of the events that we had gone to for a Star Wars celebration, he was the host. You know, had several panels that he hosted, as well as mm-hmm. the weekend in general, or the week in general, and he stayed in the same hotel as we did,
and we saw him.
Several times, yes.
Several times.
We held the door for him as him and his family were on Segways coming through from sightseeing. And then again at the ATM. As he was leaving the ATM, you know, we locked eyes with each other and we're eye level. And he said, you know, and basically he said, "It's kids. What are you going to do? You're going to keep going to the ATM for the kids." So, it made perfect sense to me. So, you know, it was a very, you know, again, he's got this ease about him with celebrities, you know, from the series and also with fans, you know, just very, very sort of cool demeanor with the whole thing, which really allows people to let their guard down and engage with him, which is very cool.
Yeah, and that gives him the ability to cross both those paths, right? Where, in fact, his first appearance at Celebration 6, he was one of the first celebrity guests there, and that's where he cut his chops on, you know, engaging with a huge crowd at this point, which you know was a different, you know, very much a different beast than he was used to.
Oh yeah,
and in 2013, the next year, which was when he had interviewed Carrie Fisher. And this was the first Disney celebration event after they had purchased it from Lucas. So this is a huge turning point. And while he had the ability to interact with these actors because he had known them since the early 80s or mid 80s at least, but he didn't separate himself from people like you and I, where we were at the same hotel, low key. You know, we weren't freaking out, but like, oh my God, that's Warwick and his family. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we're good. you know, and it just became this very basic human, you know, everyday interaction But that plays completely into his demeanor as a host and, you know, bridging the gap between the fan and the Star Wars celebrity that everyone is there to see.
Yeah, and, you know, it not only that, but he continued to do the acting as well as the hosting for several years for several different projects. And really, you know, in many of his projects, you only recognize him if you're looking for him.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But he's branched out quite well from, even in Star Wars, he's branched out quite well. Because, of course, you know, Lucasfilm, we were listening to a podcast that featured Sam Witwer, of course, of Star Wars fame. And he had mentioned that Lucasfilm is incredibly loyal to people.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you've got someone that the Star Wars fandom appreciates, and you're coming up with a new movie, chances are they're going to be in it.
Before we get to all of his roles that he has played in Star Wars, we'll take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Have tree, bad place for living shall, Ewok Nation make dead. Give little gold for big move of laboring, guaranteed. The Ewok Tree Removal Service of Endor, taking care of pesky trees and Imperial troops since 6 BBY.
And we are back. So before the break, we were talking about just how awesome Warwick Davis is as a bridge between the fandom and the stars of Star Wars, and himself being a star of Star Wars. And
a fan of Star Wars.
Yes, from day one, from literally day one. Warwick Davis, as we all know him as Wicket, but he's had many other roles. And in most of the productions that they've done since Return of the Jedi, he's been in. So let's explore a little bit of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's obviously had several roles outside of Star Wars, but he's pretty unrecognizable in most of his Star Wars roles as well. So, yeah, in The Phantom Menace, he played Wald, which was Anakin's Rodian buddy from the pod race. You know, when they're in the pit there preparing for the pod race, Wald is his little buddy there, and that was him. And also the human-looking weasel.
Mm.
The most Warwick-looking of his characters, Weasel.
Because it's just Warwick.
Yeah, he spent maybe 5 minutes in makeup. I don't know. Anyway.
And an extended hairline and some maybe extensions for his hair. But.
Right. But other than that, it's Warwick.
We'll get back to him in a little bit later on.
Yes. Yes. So, So then he played various creatures and aliens, but then he played Wolovan in The Force Awakens. He was a patron at Maz's castle.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you haven't discovered it yet, Wicket W. Warwick, played by Warwick, played Wald and Wolovan. And then in Rogue One, he played Weetief Siubi from Saw Gerrera's Rebel Cell. Okay. And then that brings us back, because in Solo, A Star Wars Story, he was brought back to portray Weasel yet again from The Phantom Menace as part of Emphis Nest's crew.
Right. And that's a pretty significant thing, because this is a reoccurring character who we see in The Phantom Menace as part of Jabba's crew. And the assumption is that he left Jabba's crew and saw perhaps the error of his ways, and now is part of the rebellion. So his character growth, I mean, of course he is. Yeah. He's a fantastic guy. So that is a really cool arc that I had no clue about until researching for this particular episode. And I hope we'll see him in the future again, because, you know, he's still out there. There's been no death mentioned for Weasel, and the Marauders, which we did touch upon in our Crimson Dawn episode, which they were a very important factor within the not necessarily the underground, but definitely the burgeoning new politics of the galactic structure.
Yeah, he, you know, and he just, like I said, has this presence on screen and with the directors that he has kind of a sense of what they need, and he nails it. So of course everyone's like, yes, he's great, we need more. So much so that you know, they brought his character Wicket back in episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yes.
As well as a flyhead looking resistance fighter named Wizich.
Yep.
So, you know, then you got to play two roles in that one, which is great. So, you know, you start to look at all these sort of shorter characters and aliens in Star Wars, and you think, okay, well, you know, could that be him? Could this be him? And it's relatively simple to sniff him out in a live action Star Wars show or film.
Well, we didn't discuss the Last Jedi role that he was in.
Oh, that's right.
he was the gambler, the would have been gambler in The Last Jedi on Canto Bight.
Yes.
And in a deleted scene. Now, this breaks his Warwick's canon, of course, with W-named characters, but perhaps that was why he was in a deleted scene. He, Kedpin Sholop, he was a spa-goer that was surprised by the Fathiers running through this complex. Yeah, so that was a deleted scene, but he was definitely the W-named would-have-been gambler in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, although they didn't use his voice for that character.
No, he was just a face there. Yeah.
Well, he did have a voice though.
Oh, okay.
Uh huh.
Who was the voice?
Well, it's a pretty famous voice actor these days.
Okay, who is it?
Also a Star Wars actor these days.
Was it Jat?
Nope.
Okay. Ooh, is Mark Hamill?
It was Mark Hamill.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh, well, that's cool.
Yes.
Wow. Yes,
I know. So, that's cool. Yeah. So, speaking of voice acting, see how I did that one?
Uh-huh.
That was nice. That was nice. So, Mr. Warwick Davis got to stretch his vocal cords a little bit with Star Wars Rebels, and he portrayed in a very modulated voice acting appearance as Rook in Star Wars Rebels.
Right, the sort of the underling slash assassin of Thrawn.
Yes, yes.
Mm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So he did portray him as well, and just has kind of made himself the go-to for these types of characters for the Star Wars franchise.
Mm-hmm. And he has definitely credited Star Wars for allowing him to have this career outside of Star Wars.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll get into his other endeavors aside from acting, but he was once again chosen by Lucasfilm for another project called Willow in 1988. And then, of course, the 2022 series, Willow. So, again, that's him being on their radar and saying, hey, you know, this is kind of the type of guy we want, and he's available. So, guess what? We're getting him. so, that opened even more opportunities for him for people that were maybe more into fantasy than sci-fi, than Star Wars and all. And as you said, he was the title role in the Leprechaun franchise and several roles in the Harry Potter franchise.
Oh, yes.
So he had played like Flitwick, Griphook, and a goblin bank teller and all throughout the Harry Potter franchise. So these sort of iconic franchises, he made himself a mainstay of, which is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. And like I said before, he has credited Star Wars to have given him these opportunities. If it weren't for that one role, he would not be in the position he is today. And that really speaks to his humbleness and his openness to the fans, and the fact that he can, you know, rent a hotel with his family, and we're sitting there in the ground level waiting to go outside, and there's Warwick on his Segway with his family at the ATM, and he's completely comfortable with it. that's the ultimate positive ambassador that Star Wars really benefits from. He's moved from not just an actor who was given an opportunity to portray a beloved character to a ambassador to connect the fans to the stars, and then interviewing the stars. I am now representing you while I'm interviewing Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher or whoever it may be. And that connection is 100% authentic.
Yeah, and it just it endears anyone who watches him to him as a person. Mm-hmm. And speaking of his humbleness, it really allows him to kind of poke fun of himself, to kind of be silly to a certain degree. And then you know, there's a point where he had started a talent agency called Willow Talent Management Agency in 1995. And essentially, he was a talent manager for little people, for connecting them with the roles in Hollywood that required their skill set and everything. So mm-hmm. So he did start that, and then he ended up hooking up with Ricky Gervais and doing a bit of a parody show on that. It was like a mockumentary of Life's Too Short. And it's very clever. It's written very well. And it's self-deprecation at its finest, really. You're like, poor Warwick. And then, you know, you see like he wrote it, and it's like, wait a minute, poor Warwick, he wrote this about himself. You know? So it's like he's stuff like where he gets on Ricky Gervais' nerves from like always popping into his house. So Ricky Gervais reinstalls his doorknob and door buzzer up higher so he can't reach them. So he no longer has to be annoyed by Warwick. Like that kind of stuff. I mean, come on.
It's brilliant self-deprecation. And I mean, Ricky Gervais is a brilliant part of that. And the fact that Warwick has the ability to look at that as parody and as entertainment. Yeah. That's absolutely wonderful. And it elicits nothing more than endearment because he's not taking himself too seriously. And that's the inception of his character, is that we see that in the 1981 documentary. He's walking through as a, 10-year-old, 11-year-old actor, not taking himself seriously. And that is translated through his 40 years of life. And that's what makes him such a wonderful person and a host.
Yes. Oh boy. So I mean, he just took a very, very fleeting opportunity and turned it into a cornerstone of a very successful career, not only through acting but through management and hosting and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the only role that we failed to mention was in Solo, A Star Wars Story. He played, or was in the role of, DDBD, the liberated droid in the main control center.
Yes, that's also true, because we did mention him in Solo, but not in that role.
Right, yes. So I think we've covered all of his parts in Star Wars at this point.
I think so, but that's the beauty of of some of these actors in these franchises is that they can find roles for them throughout the projects and really pay tribute to not only the actor's history with the franchise, but also kind of say, hey, you know, we appreciate what you did in this one. Here's a completely different thing, to not rehash what we've done before, but to kind of give you a different opportunity to portray, you know, something entirely different, which is really cool.
And speaks to the loyalty of the, for how many years he's been part of the Star Wars family. And hey, let's fit Warwick in here because this would be perfect for him.
Yeah. And he'd love it. So let's do it. Yes. Oh boy. So that's our short story about Warwick.
More long than short, but yes.
Well, I mean, it's not that long.
No, it's not, but it's still awesome.
Longer ones. Oh boy. So yeah, you know, again, you know, we mentioned the Star Wars weekends and we had mentioned him in that episode, which is which is part of our backlog of episodes on our very own website at conversations.com. Facebook.com/conversations will help bring you back to us as well. We are on the Twitters at Swations, Conversations on Instagram. We have our Etsy shop at Commerce Swations. Like commerce, because never mind. Yeah. Your economy teacher will teach you that one later. We have a link.tree/conversations. And of course, as always, we are proud founding members of the Red 5 Podcast Network. And you can reach them and all of our other friends over at the bio.link/red5. R-E-D 5.
Spelled
out. It's the five.
Right. Number. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's them, and this is us.
And to sign us off.
Yep. Nup. Wicca. Tipita.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content, make sure you head over to Red5Network.com. You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more. All wings report in. It's the Red 5 Network.